Jordan, stormy banks I stand, and the cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. Since 1934, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. Please stay tuned for another lesson on this program by Jody Apple. Are you listening?
For the promised land.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you for tuning in to Are You Listening? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 states that we are justified by faith. Here's what we read from God's Word in that chapter. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's Romans 5, the first two verses. Later, Romans chapter 5, verse 9 declares that we are justified by Christ's blood. Hear God's word from that text. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. Some questions. We've asked them before. Let's ask them again. Are we justified by faith? Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 says, yes. Are we justified by the blood of Christ? Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, they also say yes. Are there two different footings, two different foundations for our justification? No, not at all. As we have studied Romans 5, we have learned, we have seen, that the words, having been justified by faith, must not be understood as meaning justified by faith alone, as faith that excludes other redemptive requirements in God's divine plan. Clearly, the language of Romans 5:9 tells us that we are also justified by His, that is, by Christ's blood. Both faith and the blood of Christ are related to the justification process, and so are grace, hope, glory, and all of the other redemptive elements that we have seen in this context. So, what are the connections that exist between faith, grace, God's love, and Christ's blood, Christ's death? That's what we have been exploring. And that's why we alluded to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and to the examples of faith that we found in Hebrews 11 in our most recent studies together. A reminder as we get started, our programs are always and freely available at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. If you have questions, comments, or requests, you can always reach us by phone at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988. That toll-free number is available every hour of the day and every day of the week. You can also reach us through the contact form at our website, internationalgospelhour.com, or if you choose, at Facebook, at facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. You can write to us at our postal mailing address, International Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee, 37334. If you would like to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, call us at that toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, or send us a message using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Just leave your name and mailing address, and we will start sending those courses to you right away. Let's get into a study of God's Word. We noted the connection that existed between Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and the message given by Peter in Acts chapter 2 concerning the resurrection of the Christ. We take up in Acts 2, reading from verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Consider the promises that we note in this text. God told David, identified here as a prophet, that he, God, would raise up of the fruit of his body, that's David's body, according to the flesh, the Christ to sit on his, that is David's throne. God's words to David, a prophetic promise, were not realized by David in David's own lifetime, nor were they realized by David after his death. Jesus, David's promised seed, would, one day, sit upon David's throne. He, the Christ, was the final realization of that promise first made to David by God in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. As Peter said it elsewhere in Acts 2, David's tomb and his physical remains are still with us to this day, chapter 2, verse 29 and verse 34. Thus David, by faith, received God's promise. But David did not personally see it fulfilled. He did, however, foresee its coming. That's the gist of Peter's citation from the book of Psalms, chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, that we read in Acts 2, 25 through 28. The Davidic promise, as Acts chapter 2 plainly tells us, was realized in the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. As we sum up the Davidic promises in Acts 2, we note the following. David was dead, buried, and still in his tomb when Peter spoke on that day, the day of Pentecost, verse 29. As a prophet, David foretold of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, verse 30. Christ fulfilled David's promise bodily according to the flesh when he, Christ, rose from the grave, again verse 30. Unlike David's physical body, Christ's body did not see corruption, verse 31, because God had raised Jesus, verse 32. Peter and the rest of the apostles were witnesses of Christ's resurrection, also verse 32. Because Christ was raised, he was exalted to God's right hand, chapter 2, verse 32. Because Christ was raised, the Father fulfilled the promise concerning the coming of the Spirit, verse 32. That promise coming was both visible and audible on that day, the day of Pentecost, verse 33. Peter then concluded his remarks by this divine summary in verses 34 through 36. David did not ascend into the heavens, but David spoke of my Lord, referencing the Christ, who would sit at God's right hand. The Christ who would sit at the Father's right hand until he made your enemies your footstool. And then we read this final statement. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Everything that Peter addressed in Acts 2 as being fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ was, at the time that Jesus went to the cross, the immediate setting of our study in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 as we discussed it, it was yet to occur at that time. Jesus did not realize what we now know and what we see from our vantage point 2,000 years later of reading Acts chapter 2. Jesus did not realize the fulfillment of David's prophecies until after his death, until after his burial, and until after his resurrection. The point and the parallel to Old Testament by faith individuals in Hebrews 11, Christ lived by faith as did they. Earlier in Hebrews, as part of the Moses-Christ comparison, Christ was identified and described as faithful, even more so than was Moses. The text says, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. That's Hebrews 3, verses 1 and 2. Christ could not have been described as faithful if he did not have, if he did not live by, if he did not practice by faith principles in his own life. We have then these three parallels so far. Old Testament characters, those introduced and discussed in Hebrews 11, they lived by faith. Christ, introduced and discussed, relative to this discussion anyway, in Hebrews chapter 12, also lived by faith. And the readers of the book of Hebrews, hopefully encouraged and hopefully prompted by these first two examples, would follow them and also live by faith. In each case, that of the Old Testament faithful, that of Christ is faithful, and that of the Hebrews readers who anticipated the future as characterized by being faithful, in each case, the idea of by faith and faithfulness included God's revealed will and God's revealed word about specific matters of belief and practice. It included God's expectation that His will and His word would be followed relative to those matters of faith and practice. It also included God's encouragement to do just that. Follow my will, follow my word, by believing and by doing what I direct and what I expect of you. It also included God's warning of the consequences that would follow should His will and His word be ignored, and thus not believed and not followed. There's one more parallel to study. Me. You. Us. All of us living since the days that Hebrews was written. What applied to the First Testament witnesses? They lived by faith. And what applied to Christ? He lived by faith. And what should have applied to the readers of Hebrews? They needed to live by faith, must also apply to us. We, too, need to live by faith. We will take up at this point in our next broadcast and continue our study of God's Word. A reminder, to receive our free 30-lesson series, Studies in the Bible, you can call us at 1-855-IGH-6988 to request them, or you can also request them by sending us a message using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series, by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.